Molly Penfield on the Andromeda album, singing the American dream needs a rescue mission for every girl and boy. Definitely with this fascist control system coming on. I'll show this a couple times. That's what you call a complete book, inside track. Of course, we got a Jim Czar painting on the front. Got satellites on the back. Got some really cool drawings in here. About HARP, which you've never seen before. Drawings never been shown before in this bunch of them, too. So welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. September 18th, 2009. And tonight, my co-hosts are all here, all three of them. I got the bird co-host. I got a bearish hair. Bearish, we don't know what to call bearish. He's a bearish host. Are you there, bearish host?
Yes, sir.
So what's happening with Steve? I heard you had my show last week. What happened on there? Did you wreck it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. We had a lot of fun last week.
What'd you guys do?
Well, we were bringing down pillars of light from heaven, and we were having a good time. People were responding to it really a lot, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
And so we were getting some phone calls, and we had some fun.
Oh, good.
And then on Saturday night, we were getting responses from all over, so it was a lot of fun. It just
kind of made a two-day show out of it.
Yeah, it was really, really a lot of fun.
So now, do you have your Skype thing hooked up now, so you can we can do the show together with the video and everything?
Not yet, because I want to buy what do they call that? Not the Apple computer, but the other computer. So I'm looking around for a computer now.
Well, you've been looking for about a year.
Well, I made a mistake in buying an Apple, and that was a bad mistake, and that was quite expensive. So
I'm
saving my money. They're about $900 for a nice computer.
Yeah, do you still have it?
Yes, I still have my Apple, but I'm trying to sell it now. So.
How much do you want for it?
Probably around $1,000.
That's about what you paid for it.
Well, I got I have a 23-inch or 20-inch screen that I bought along with it.
Yeah,
and so
it's a
separate entity, and it's really beautiful. It really shows a lot. But
why can't you use the Apple screen, the other second screen, the auxiliary?
Well, I'm having somebody coming in next week to show me what to do with it, so hopefully it'll work. But I really want to get a PC rather than an Apple. Because I've had nothing but trouble with the
Apple. How much do you want for the mainframe if you just sell the main... It's a laptop, right?
It's a laptop. Probably around $800. That's what it cost me. Well, I think it was $999, something like that. I'd settle for $800. It's a good computer, the Apple. I can't get what I need out of it, you know, in terms
of
getting...
We'll have to do some horse trading here for something that you need out here, and I'll trade you out of it for something worth more. How's that?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, just hold on to it, because my daughter wants one.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, and she just got over here from England. She doesn't got a lot of money, but I can trade you some stuff that you can...
Yeah, sure, that'd be great to do.
But let's just do that, and I'll get it for
her. All right.
Ship it out. So anyway, we got a good stock of Shaolutzi, by the way. Everybody out there...
Oh, that's great stuff.
Yeah, you, if you're running low, I mean, no, we could throw some of that in on the trade, even. It's a few bottles.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
But,
sure.
We got a lot going on, you know, with the Shaolutzi now. I'm drinking it again. I went about a month and a half without a drop.
Really?
Yeah, my consciousness really dropped. I mean, I just barely remember my own name.
Yeah, I have...
You get used to these herbs in here.
Yeah.
And they're not supposed to be habit-forming, but I have a bad habit of enjoying totally clear, crisp thinking every moment and second of the day.
Yeah.
And I got back to my human characteristics where I get up in the morning and had to go get a cup of coffee to get cranked up.
Right.
At the end of the day, you know, my mind would get a little cloudy, and I don't like that. And the Shaolutzi takes care of that.
I still got a couple bottles of it left, so it really works for me. It really keeps me very clear.
I've also got some clients around that are going to be. One guy's over. He's over in Europe. You'll probably have to consult him. They're setting up a big health clinic, and I don't know where it's Switzerland or somewhere. You know.
Okay.
They're buying a bunch of projector systems. They're going to need your expertise.
Oh, cool. Cool. I just talked to our friend from Boston today.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. He was all smiles. He was he's looking forward to some more of his system. He's very happy with
his radiators. My daughter just finished putting in the stones today.
Oh, cool. He was talking about that.
Yeah, we got a Systems 3 completely ready to ship out here to him.
Fantastic.
I mean, one of the most beautiful ones we've ever built. Lots of gold on it, lots of precious stones.
Yeah.
And now he's going to need a master crystal, and then he's going to need the other crystals. I've got to go to Laguna Beach to get some of those to go in the chambers, you know.
Right.
I have to talk to him about that, because I don't think he purchased any of that stuff yet.
I don't think he's got a master crystal yet. That's something he should really have.
He's going to have it. The System 3 just basically doesn't work without one. That's the way
he
wanted to.
Yeah.
You have to be grounded with something with a System 3.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy Blue, what are you doing there? I got my other sidekick back here, you know.
Yeah.
Now, we're in print on the book now. This is what's called a production galley.
Right.
It's not bound on the end, and the cover's a little bit off center, but we'll be shipping. I'd say at the outside, it'd be 2 weeks we'd be shipping books, and the inside, a week and a half.
That's fantastic, yeah.
With even sooner than that. Depends on how quick they can print these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've been paid. And it's time for them to perform.
Yeah.
What we're doing now, what we did is we took the inside track. We're getting ready to go out and PR this on television here in a week or two.
Right.
Before the Tammy Flu comes out. And then we've taken the inside track and the rays of truth. Mm-hmm. We made them all the same size, 7, you know, by 10.
Mm-hmm.
Same kinds of paintings on the front. All right. This is a cool painting on this one.
Oh, cool.
I own the original, by the way. I mean, if anybody wants posters, once you see it, this is what a good friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger did this. He's one of the best painters around, and he's done stuff for the entire world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Jim Zarr. You can look up his website or just type in Jim, Z-A-R. And we will have prints available for both these books. And then we're going to take Death of Ignorance now. We're in, the people are retyping, setting it, the whole book.
Yeah.
And we're going to clean up the pictures and everything in it, and that's going to be reprinted in the 7x10, so we'll have a 3-book series people can purchase.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, won't that be cool?
That is really cool.
Yeah, and this one, there's only 1,000 copies available at $88, and then that's it. And this one, then I guarantee it's going to be edited. It's already been spoken about.
I can imagine.
Down a little bit by the next printer. So you want to get the big, thick, inch-thick guy, which is, at this point, many pages? 374 pages.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, there we go again. So I said, no more telephone books. Well, we'll call this a handbook, you know?
Yeah.
So anybody out there wants to get our, before we get rolling here on anything, maybe somebody wants to call in and see what's on people's minds tonight. As soon as the book is in print, I have a lot of scientists that are in the book, featured in the book in the latter sections. They're going to be coming on the show here.
That'll
talk about it. They're going to have to read the book first and see what I said about them, because they might come on and just chew me out or something. You know what I mean? Quite a bunch of them. Some of them I've talked to, and some of them actually, Michio Kaku's already been on, but he hadn't read the book yet, so
he's back
on again.
Right.
So we want to get Kip Thorne, who's the number one gravity guy in the world. We want to get Murray Gell-Mann, who's discovered quarks, and he's got an institute over in Arizona now where they're doing linguistic and language history studies. Fabulous work he's doing.
Right.
But he's in great shape, and he's retired from physics, obviously, but the guy knows physics probably. He's probably forgot more than all these young guys, new guys will ever know.
Right.
And there's a bunch of other ones. We talked to, Leonard Susskind up in the Bay Area, one of the founders of the string theory. He's agreed to come on. We just haven't had the right show for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be pretty famous. He'll probably get a Nobel Peace Prize at some point. He's working with Stephen Hawking, and they do black holes. And then we've got Gerard DeHoof is another guy that he works with up there at Stanford, is world famous. Try to get him on. And there's a long list. And then, of course, we want to get some of these doctors on that have been involved with the Tamiflu studies to get the truth out as to how deadly these flu shots are going to be.
So
we're lining up a pretty good fall curriculum. But then so you will between the two of us and the birds, these guys aren't going to know what hit them, you know? They may not even want to come on the show. Who knows? But most of these guys, when they know they're in the book, they're going to want to come on and either defend themselves or build themselves up for more popularity, because physicists have huge egos, these guys do. These are world-famous guys, you know, some of them are winners and that. And they carry big sticks in the world, you know, what goes on in world politics.
Yes.
They carry great big sticks. So anyhow, what's on your mind tonight, Steve?
What I've been doing, Fred, is I keep on getting messages to let go more.
Yeah.
And what I've been doing all week is I've been wearing my platinum projector. It seems to be helping me a lot in terms of letting go information. In other words, I think what they're trying to tell me is, and I'm for sure it's very certain, that the more I let go, the more I receive.
Yeah, it works, yeah.
Right. So I've been doing a lot of work with my clients. Whatever they want is coming to them instantaneously. We haven't discussed money. We haven't talked about money. But we've talked about health. We've talked about other things. And things are changing almost instantaneously. So I noticed that the energy that I was producing last week on my show and your show, it was very constant and very strong. So they kept on telling me, Steve, just release, let go. Don't even think, don't even, you know. And I did all that, and the energy was actually coming through stronger. People were calling me from around the world and also on my internet, and I finally got that working. And they were telling me that they were feeling the energy without even talking to me, just being on the show and listening to the energy and the healing energies that were coming through the heavenly light that was coming down. They were feeling it all over the world, the people that were listening to the radio show. So I think it's a matter of letting go more and just allowing that energy to come through. And the voice kept on telling me, have faith, just let go more. And that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing all week.
Yeah, I can feel the same energy out here. You know, we've overcome a big weight off my back writing this book.
Right.
You know, hence it's being able to hold a finished product. You know, when you write something like this and all the research that it took to do all this stuff.
Yes.
I remember when I was halfway through it, and it was every day I get up in the morning and write till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, from 8 in the morning to 2 or 3 in the afternoon for months.
I remember that, yeah.
And just then they look at the end of the day, and it's just a pile of papers. It still had to have everything else done to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then all this stuff that I was writing about what's going to happen started happening. The release of a bioweapon 3 over in 5 European countries by Gilmead and of a Tamiflu, which was contaminated with HIN1. And what happened next? There was another big incident. Oh, then the training started in July. I was almost done. Had to readdress that, where they're going to use martial law and use foreign troops to come break your door down if you don't get your flu shots. So, and then I had to do all that. And then, what else? Oh, the next thing is Michael Jackson ends up dying. And I had to do the whole thing on Depravan and how these, it just tied in perfectly with how kids get screwed up on drugs. So then I had to tie that back in with all the ingredients of Depravan.
Right.
Cyclohexane, you know, compound, which is in all these drugs, and also in the vaccines. They're putting it in everything, basically. They're putting angel dust in everything. They're spraying angel dust, but it's really devil's dust.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and add that in, and it's just, then I had to get on and write some more, and I'd write some more, and something else would happen.
Yeah.
And it just got out of control. But finally,
well, we just Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's only I predicted this book would have been done about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you good time. If you're writing a book, add an extra 2 years.
Right, right.
That's a
right.
comic book, then you better add three. I don't know how quick comic books get done.
We had a young fella down in Ithaca die from the H1N1.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they said that he had died from the flu, but my question is, did he die from the flu or did he die from the shot?
Oh, they gave him the shot.
I don't know. They didn't say it in the paper, but I have a feeling
more people died from the shot so far than the flu.
Yeah, yeah. So they're not saying. They're really not saying. They said he just got H1N1, and he died from it. But I don't know. It feels like almost like they gave him a shot.
Yeah, they probably might have.
You know? And they keep that from the paper. I don't know why they just don't tell us what's going on rather than just holding back.
Yeah. Well, that's savvy stuff. They don't want you to know. You know,
yeah.
Remember in Japan, this happened while I was working my book, half the kids in Japan started going insane and becoming suicidal or homicidal.
Mm-hmm.
Put a ban on it. Unless you're over 19 or 20 years old, you can't have it over there.
Yeah.
Because of what happened there. That was a big, big deal. I wrote about that in here, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's just amazing.
I just find it's just absolutely amazing that we're not being told any kind of information on this at all. I mean, it's just being kept from the papers. It's not, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
And then this Dr. Tannenbaum recreated it in 97 or 98, and that's what's out there now, over at Fort Dix, of course. And they spread it out of there again, and now it's out all over the place. But
mm-hmm.
if he hadn't created that again, just so they could create a vaccine for it, we wouldn't have it in the first place.
Right.
So it was recreated. First time they created it, basically a strain of it, is 1918, but they contained it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because they didn't have any vaccine for it then. They couldn't make any money on it. So then they tried again in 1976, back when Rummy mm-hmm. was in there, Rumsfeld.
Right, right.
And there it went over like a lead balloon. Nobody was going for it. They didn't have the laws in place to force people into it, because 9/11 hadn't happened yet.
Right.
New
right.
laws.
Yeah.
So it goes on and on and on, you know.
Yep.
Actually, 9/11 had happened, but the laws, the Homeland Security and all these laws weren't in place. These laws that are in this book that we talk about, that basically, you know, you have your habeas corpus was still present. Now it's gone. Right.
Yep.
To defend yourself and account for where you are when you're, you know, under their arrest. All that
yep.
kind of stuff hadn't happened yet. So now, you know, they can tell you, screw you. You're going to have to take this vaccine so we can kill you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyhow.
No, I think the thing is that what's amazing is the same thing that happened in 1939 is happening here.
Yeah.
All over again. Same thing. People don't learn.
Oh, I know.
It's just absolutely incredible.
I know. I'm trying to look in the book here and see, come across some interesting facts. This book has sidebars all the way up and down the pages like the other one.
Yes.
So the high point of each page is off on the side, so speed readers can get a feel for it that way, because some people don't like to read it word for word, and then they go back and read it word for
right,
word.
Right. That's going to be a great book. I mean, people are really going to be floored with that book.
That's what everybody thinks. I'm floored
yeah.
just getting rid of it, you know, getting it
yeah.
out there to the people. To me, it's get it out of my life now, you know?
Yeah.
But the
yeah.
PR stuff comes up now, and that takes another 6 months to get it really rolling.
Yeah. That'll roll pretty good.
Yeah, when you get your first book out there, you'll see what I'm talking about. How's your
yeah.
book going?
I'm starting to write it now. I just gonna have to find somebody to help me out with it when I get it all finished. I got about 400 sayings.
Yeah, well, I got people out here. My editors can do that for you.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
They just charge you so much a page.
Okay.
It's not
when I get it all done, I have somebody. What I want to do is I have somebody looking it over now. We want to make some artwork with each page, you know, of each saying. So I don't know if I want to put two in one page or one in one page.
Well, I got
but there,
do the artwork. They did the artwork in Rays of Truth. They did the artwork in this.
Mm-hmm.
Do them fairly inexpensively, and they need work right now. I mean, they're working on Death of Ignorance, but these guys can handle a few more books at once.
Well, I'm about quarter of the way done with the words that were given to me from heaven.
Yeah.
So I need to write it down, and then I'll ship it out to you.
Yeah, I'll hook you up when I talk to you about the computer, like maybe after the show or tomorrow or something.
Okay.
I'll get you their phone numbers, and I'll give them there, and you can call. They can call you, and they can start working with you.
Okay.
They do good work. What they'll do is they'll take your rough drafts, put it into a complete book, illustrate it, index it, page number it, typeset it, the whole thing for you, real inexpensively, and
mm-hmm.
then they'll give you a CD, and you just take it to any printer you want, or they'll even print it for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that sounds great.
The amount of work they did on this, they did it almost for free. They like doing spiritual work.
Yeah.
They won't just take on any job. You know, they'll take, these guys are world famous. They do a lot of stuff for Apple Computer.
Right.
So they're pretty. They've done a lot of really far out books. You know, in the past.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So
I can imagine.
True, they did that one. So.
Yeah. Well, your book is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Well, everybody seems to like the other one.
Well, it's going to be really amazing because there's so much information in it that people don't really know.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing part about it is that it's going to be for everybody, and I just hope that people realize the amount of power that's in that book.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of energy in it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You're my sidekick there?
Boy, can I.
You got a good blast there, Boo. Well, he's already got his own singing career going on YouTube now. hey, you can't do that while we're on the show. Stop that. Yeah, you gotta stop that. Yeah, the sun's going down. That's why he's responding to the sunset.
Right.
I'll move him in the other room, but he won't like that.
The platinum projector is becoming transparent as I'm wearing it.
Yeah, there's a big, if you notice platinum prices.
No, I haven't noticed at all.
They're going through the roof again.
Are they really?
Yeah. The platinum got down to $9.50 an ounce.
Right.
And it's, I'll tell you right now what it is. Platinum right now is $13.34 today an ounce.
Wow.
On the way back up to $2,500.
Right.
And that's why if people want to buy any, and gold's at $1,007 right now.
Right.
Gold always goes up. They all metals do this time of year. They always do it, and they drop off in the summer. But that's why people want platinum projectors and that. They need to get them ordered because the price can go double.
Well, I can tell them with the projector, the platinum projector, it's so powerful, Fred, that when I wear it, there's tremendous light that comes through from the front of it to the back of it. And it's opening up, and the whole thing is becoming transparent, which means to me that when I'm looking at it, it's almost invisible. In other words, it's almost like looking at one of the Andromedans, you know, that kind of transparency.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's really powerful. Very, very powerful, Fred. It's opening me up to releasing even more energy. So there's a lot going on with platinum. I can't believe how powerful it is. Very, very powerful.
What's happening is the awareness to that consciousness is opening. I think we're going to start selling quite a bit of platinum now. But people realize that the consciousness enhancement factor is quite a bit greater.
It's powerful. It's something that if more people can handle the platinum, that's the way to go.
Yeah, well, people think about it in terms of money. Hey, we got to be quiet, honey. You're on the air. We have to put you in the bathroom now. We put you around the corner. You have to stop that. Hey, come here. I'm going to have to hold it for a minute so the sun goes down. He'll be fine if the sun goes down. Yeah, he really wants to. You're here. Everybody on the TV can see him. Everybody. No, you're not going on the shoulder. The fella's up there. You're the junior. Yeah, he's looking right at the camera. He likes to wear my glasses, too.
He's a showman already.
Oh, is he ever.
But you'll wear glasses now, too. Put the glasses on. Glasses on. Come on. Here, put the glasses on. Here, putting the glasses on for people on the TV so they can see him.
Mm.
He's really cute. If you look at him, he wants a pair of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be called Professor Buddy Bird. Once he's already a rock star, he says, now I've conquered that. I'm all over YouTube. You know, just type in Buddy Boo, and you'll hear him squawk and sing.
Right.
He actually does sing pretty good when he's not squawking, but you never know what you're going to get. You know, if we make
that's
a record
so
with him, we're probably going to get more of a squawk out of him than a song. But he does sing Michael Jackson stuff pretty good.
Does he really?
Yeah, he'll sing right along with all the harmonies and everything, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
If I start playing, when I get my studio hooked up in here, I'll do a radio show with live music. I can play music in here now, but it's not quite hooked up where I have enough synthesizers, and we'll do a show where we probably will sing a little bit. I'll do a lot of synthesizer work, and he'll be singing, because he loves to sing when I play music.
Yeah, he sounds healthy.
Yeah, he does. So anyway, how's your projector system working? What kind of energy are you getting through that?
Well, I'm finding out, Fred, that each one, and I had mentioned this last week on your show and my show, the energies that are coming out of the projector are very interesting, because what I'm doing, I'm going from one pyramid to another pyramid, and there's information, there's different information coming out of each one of the pyramids. And I can tell that by the different frequencies that are happening for the pyramid. It's very, very interesting. It's really wild.
Yeah, so you're talking about the individual pyramids.
The individual pyramids. Do you remember about a year ago I said, Fred, there was a lot of energy coming out of the projectors, and each one had its own light in it, that, you know, the light is very strong. It was forming a two-foot beam of light, actually a ball of light right in the center of my massage table. So
right.
I believe that those information, it feels like different information, Fred. It feels the frequencies are different, but very subtle, very, very subtle. And the energy that's coming over the table is very interesting. What I would do, if you want, is have a lot of fun with that, is get yourself a table, put it in the center of the room with the four projectors, and just lay there for like about a half hour, and you'll see what I mean.
So what do? You put them on the table, or you just aim them at a table?
You aim it at the table. What I do is that I have my projectors raised maybe 2%. You raise it until you can actually feel the energy of the projector coming to the center of the room. And then you aim all four of them in the center of the room and lay down there, and you'll feel this tremendous energy. It's very unified, but each projector, each one of the pyramids has a different kind of energy. In other words, I think there's a lot of information that's coming into us, and each one of it's individual, and each one is different.
Oh yeah, I agree.
It's very powerful, Fred. I mean, I'm just starting to realize how much power these projectors really have. I just thought it was the same light that was coming out and going into the center of the room, but I'm finding out that each individual light is different. It's very powerful, and it's coming through more and more all the time.
Yeah, because
so I'm just playing with it now. I keep on playing with these projectors, and I'm finding that this kind of information is happening.
Yeah, you got a couple. There's a lot of different physics. You know, quantum biology is what we're working with now, so we'll be explaining a lot more of this.
Mm-hmm.
But with the stones, you get that SPDC, that spontaneous down conversion, which lines up with the thought process. In other words, if you think a thought,
right,
what happens is with the SPDC, it amplifies across the surface of those big crystals that are on the front of the projectors, those big 3-inch cubic zirconium crystals.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so they align with your thought patterns. This then transmits an energy into your brain. And your brain, the effector sites in the brain change shape, and they produce different hormones. It's kind of like
a
process that the cells use in the body to deal with starch versus sugar versus protein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in digestion and production of hormones. You put in certain types of amino acids in your body, will produce certain types of hormones. You put in some sugars or candy in your body, the same receptor sites, effector sites, will then produce insulin and other proteins that are necessary to assimilate
mm-hmm.
sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And when they end up producing, in the end, different types of neuropeptides. And over a period of time, your body learns a discipline. And this is all becoming standard medicine now. Yeah, it's advanced, but this is what the Para Laboratory over in Princeton is doing, and this stuff's all documented now.
Right.
So what we're doing, I'm writing a paper on it for the people that are working on the X1 project. And stop it. Quiet. So anyway, so this, it's not something, you know, I understand what you're saying, but we can scientifically prove it. And then we have a thing called an atomic microscope that I'm going to try to get my hands on. There. Used ones are about 148,000.
Mm-hmm.
That look at individual atoms.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do with that is we're able to look at at the hormone structures in it and blood and different endocrine functions in the body down
mm-hmm.
to an atom level.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually
mm-hmm.
view the SPDC down conversion effect as it changes remotely in the body from a distance with the X1. This is one of the things this machine will do. We're also, you know, we're able to get the equipment here now to prove and demonstrate what, you know, this is possible and how it works. So it's a
mm-hmm.
real exciting,
mm-hmm.
brand new frontier, and it's called quantum biology. And we'll have after we get done promoting the book, then we're going to turn to that. You know, because the world's
that's
not ready for this yet. I mean,
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of our listeners are, but the world in general has still got to get into the inside track and learn problems they're going to have out there with their, you know, dictates of society, i.e. government people.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. what's going on? Can't get up there? I know I get up there. He gets very nervous. He's just a little over a year old. May was his birthday. He gets really excited. He's, you know, you don't have any assistant hosts yet at your house, right? Any?
No.
Thing.
No.
You're on your own back there, right?
I'm on my own, Fred, yeah.
You
I'm
think
really
you'll be getting maybe like a trained mouse or something to have on your shoulder? To run the wheel?
That'd
you know,
be cool.
For your telephone, something like that. It'll be good.
I'm really thinking about getting a bird. I mean, you're talking me into a bird.
Well, what kind of bird do you think you need?
I have no idea. I don't know what to do, but some birds are very beautiful.
Well, I recommend
very, very beautiful.
If I had the cockatoo is a good bird. That's one of the first birds I ever had is a big white cockatoo, the umbrella
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or the gold-crested. And you can go on the internet and you'll see they these are music birds. These birds will dance to any tune. They will
really?
Sing, yeah. You can go on the internet, type in singing or dancing bird, and you'll go to YouTube, and you'll see umbrella cockatoos. You'll see even African greys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you get into an African grey, they are great talkers. They're very warm birds, but they're in their own space. In other words, they'll learn from you, but they primarily talk, you know?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
They're not great lovers. Their idea of loving you is biting you, giving a bite, not a hard bite.
Right.
Whereas this bird here, a Bellaboo, will snuggle up and sleep with you. You put a little towel down, and she'll lay there next to you, not standing on her feet, she'll flat lay down, and so will Buddy, and they'll sleep with you all night and just snuggle up to
her. I'll be darned, really?
Yeah, an African gray won't do that. African gray will run around and try to get on a higher perch or something, you know?
Yeah.
Cockatoo, have one in the bedroom. I'm sure they're fine. They'll also snuggle up pretty good, but they don't talk much. They're mechanical. I went to a birthday party when I first got into parrots, and they had an umbrella there, and the guy took the equivalent of a Rubik's Cube and told the bird to rearrange it, but it wasn't all fastened together. It was separate blocks, and he put blue
mm-hmm.
blocks over
mm-hmm.
there and white blocks
mm-hmm.
over there, and then he counted. He put three blocks here. He'd bring three blocks up and drop them off. That's what the cockatoos do. They're very, very, mechanical, and they're very loving.
Yeah.
However, when they get older, if you don't pay a lot of attention to them, they get real loud. You know?
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Whereas an African gray, as it gets older, doesn't get loud. still loves you, and it talks a lot. It'll talk a lot more. They both basically will are a self-serving bird that's very warm, and but they just talk all the time.
Now, let me ask you a question.
They actually talk to you.
Yeah. What kind of birds do you have?
I have the two eclectus here. I have a Hans Macaw, which is basically a conure, which is a small parrot. Conures, by the way, are very smart. Probably the only bird that can fly out the door and find its way back. The rest of these is fly off into oblivion, you know?
Really? Right.
Because they're domesticated. But a conure is smart enough to fly out and come right back. They talk a little bit, so they're not too affectionate, but they're incredibly smart. I mean,
it'll fly
across the room and land on my shoulder if it gets out. They will fly 100 feet to land on you, you know?
Wow.
And then I got a blue and gold. The blue and gold will talk. They're very affectionate. But you got to be careful when you raise them as a child because they can get a little bit bitey when they get older, you know?
No, can they?
Yeah, but they won't if, and they're also, if you get the female, they're hormonal. Bad days and good days. Some days, I don't care how close you are to them, you do something wrong, they'll give you one hell of a bite.
Yeah. Now, Buddy Boo is how big is he now?
He doesn't bite. He'll do anything you want. He stings. You know, he's very loving. We got him right after he was raised on a bottle. He's a year old now. He's very smart. He goes over to Bella's cage, and I don't care what kind of, how you latch it up, he'll open all the latches and let her out. She won't get out. He doesn't do that, but he'll go over there, open up the entire latches, things you got to turn and twist. He figured them all out, and he lets her out every day. So I have to actually wire some of the doors shut now. So he can't get her out. He'll get her out, and they start running around the house.
Yeah.
They run as a pair, you know.
Right.
A big house. And they poop. They don't poop all over the place. They make a mess out of it. She goes under a cupboard or something, and that she tries to make a nest. And then, of course, he can't go under there because she's in there, you know. But he sings. He's a great singer. You know, they're one of the best singing birds I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, of course, the Amazon. We don't have an Amazon. Amazon can memorize probably the entire Declaration of Independence or half the U.S. Constitution. They can do huge memory processes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Amazon is a hands-off bird. They're very vicious, you know?
They'll bite.
They'll go after you. Yeah.
Wow.
Great talkers. Wow. They're one person, one owner bird. Anybody else that gets near them will get attacked. They're like pit bulls.
That's amazing.
Yeah. There's other different ones that I haven't raised the other ones. I just loaned my bookkeeper a book on them because I've been around lots of them because my friend owns a big pet store, you know, and all the breeders go to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he owns like the biggest pet store chain in Southern California, named Omar.
Yeah.
So he's where I get all my birds and I get them wholesale. But you need to not ship a bird. You need to go to a pet store that has them and they're real young, possibly bottled.
Right.
They're real smart. You got to find the one you have chemistry with.
Okay.
Because they have everyone has a separate, complete, entirely different personality than another one.
How about that?
Yeah, they're very smart.
Amazing.
Parrots, on the average, are as smart as a 6 or 7 year old child when they're 3 years old.
Yeah.
He's being quiet. It was just that period of sunset that.
Isn't that amazing? The sunset went down and he's quiet.
Yeah, at sunrise and sunset, parrots get a little loud.
Yeah.
They know about the energy, you know?
There's a lot going on with the pyramid.
New big one that we make, right?
Oh, Fred, I can tell you, there's tremendous energy coming down from wherever it's coming from the pyramid or to the pyramid.
Yeah.
It's so bright. If I shut my eyes, I'm doing right now, it's extremely bright. So there's a lot of energy coming through, and you can actually feel it. I'm under my pyramid now, and it's just tremendous.
You got the new one with the built-in capstone.
Yes, I do, and the capstone is beautiful.
Yeah, well, you really like that one.
It's a 10-footer. I mean, it's really huge, but it's so powerful. It's a lot of fun to have in the house.
Yeah, I've got one over both houses, both beds, all pyramids.
Well,
we didn't have one out here, you know.
Right, Matt. Yeah, the one you had one that was in Laguna Beach, I think it was chrome.
Yeah, that was the chrome. This one out here is too. That was an 8-footer, 9-footer.
Right.
This has a big enough room in it where you can have a 10-foot.
Right.
You have a 10-foot in your room?
Yeah, I have a 10-foot in my room.
That's a big pyramid.
Yeah, that is a big pyramid, and it's very powerful.
And so you got a big room then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes up half the room.
Yeah,
but that's
fine.
What I wanted. You know, because I'm really into energy. That's what I want. I don't want anything else in the room other than energy.
Yeah, you learn to get around them.
Yep. I hop into bed, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very, very powerful. Now, the other thing is that the nuclear receptor is opening up to more energy. So something big is happening, Fred. Something very big is happening.
Yeah, well, I think that as we get closer to the Nibiru planet,
Nibiru, yeah.
Around that dark star, which is coming through the orbit of Jupiter now.
Right.
I think that that's the first taste of gravity waves that are affecting our society. And that gives the appearance of speeding up time.
Okay.
This is a rogue planet that has a 3,600-year cycle in its size of Jupiter. So,
right.
And it's going right by the Earth, not instantly zip by, but slowly in proportion to the size of the solar system, but very fast in speed compared to a roller skate or a car or something,
Right, right.
And what happens is, because the way gravity works with time, it changes time in its vicinity.
Yes.
If you were on the Earth and you had two stopwatches and you gave or two watches or clocks and you gave one to somebody on Nibiru, for example, and 10 days went by here over there, it might only be 5 days gone by.
Right.
Relativity.
Right.
That's an extreme. But what happens is, these gravity waves, and they're trying to measure these things now. That's what Kip Thorne will talk about when he comes on, if we can get him on.
Yeah.
He'll explain the LIGOS, which is the gravity wave detector systems that they have now,
are seeking
out to measure time changes by vibration. They have these big metal cylinders that weigh like tons, and they start vibrating to the gravity of other planets because the gravity waves come.
Yes.
But if you have an extreme situation, this is what's going to happen is time. But so because everything's a hologram anyway,
and
consciousness doesn't have any mass, it's going to be affected by gravity waves, in any new ones coming in, it's going to throw off the equilibrium between the terrestrial gravity that we're used to and the gravity of whatever heavenly body that is being transmitted to the Earth.
Right.
So that's, and you think they're serious? They spend hundreds of millions of dollars on these detectors, and so far they don't get them to work too good. Because this is a significant understanding, and it comes from Einstein's special theory of relativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not the general, but the special theory of relativity explains this.
Right.
Which I wrote about it in the book, obviously, and gravity waves. But anyway, so they're real concerned with it because when you have atomic clocks, for example, that run, let's say, a nuclear warhead or a nuclear computer that controls nuclear activity, like in a power generator, you have to have timing within, say, a millionth of a second over 100 years. That's extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To make everything work right because you're dealing with atomic clocks. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got two of these big machines coordinated at two different locations, and you get what we would consider weak gravity waves, that's only consciousness really would notice, that could have a tumultuous effect on one of these nuclear clocks. Generators inside these big fusion furnaces.
Right.
It could really cause some havoc inside of a second, way inside of a second. So that's why they've got. And normally these gravity wave detectors are arranged in threes. For example, they're triangles. They have one up in put one up in Canada, They put one in Florida, and they put one out here on the West Coast somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Triangulate them. And that way they get more sensitivity.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then they set up a special infrared. They use infrared to look at the dark star, and it's mostly observable from the Antarctic part of this planet, so they have set up a tracking station down there that NASA has, whatever
right.
straight answer has, to track these
yes.
big bodies that supposedly science sometimes doesn't even acknowledge that exist, but obviously they do.
Well,
it's all in my book,
thing,
by the way, but it's stuff that people don't realize that's going on.
Well, I think that some people need to know that also Nibiru is known as Planet X.
Right, Planet X.
Yeah, they might not know it by Nibiru, but they'll know it by Planet X also.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think it's actually coming closer. I think by 2009, later on in 2009, people will be able to see that through their telescopes, and I believe by 2010 they'll actually be able to see it in the sky.
Yeah, I believe that, because in 2012 it'll be its closest.
Yes.
I forget what the day is. It's a spring date, I believe.
That I don't know, but I know that, you asked me to look up the information, and I remember it saying that 2009 they'd be able to see it in their scopes.
I think it's December 21st, 2012.
Is it really?
Yeah, I believe that. I just remembered that.
Oh, cool.
Drawing in the book here that explains it.
Yeah, so that should be very interesting. But I think you're right. I think that we're starting to feel the energy from Nibiru.
Well, we've been feeling it for a while in the fact that people say it seems like time goes a lot faster now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning of it, because if you condense consciousness, time appears to speed up anyway.
Yes.
So consciousness is actually condensing before the speed is speeding up. There's a caller on the line there.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Mardia.
Hi, Mardia. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
So what's happening with you?
Well, a lot's happening with me, but I want to talk about the book and getting it promoted up here. I heard you speak of Leonard Susskind and another gentleman at Stanford.
Yeah, Gerard de Hoof. He's from Holland originally, but I think he's over at Stanford a lot.
Yeah, Gerard de Hoof is from Holland. Okay. But my concern is having, to promote the book, is seeing how we can talk to numbers of people that are your viewers already or already committed to the program and what you've been doing, to see if they would buy into buying numerous copies of the book for distribution.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. But the thing is, with the first 1,000 books, what we're doing there is we're selling them for a flat rate at an introductory price, because it's on a bridge. The next printing will be a signed and sealed price. It will be signed and sealed and serialized. So what happens there is that you will have a wholesale and retail price on it, somewhat significantly below the original copies that people will get,
mm-hmm.
which will have a collector value.
Right, okay.
That's when we can do that part of it. And that probably, the first 1,000 will probably sell out in a few weeks once we start promoting it a little bit down here.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing, my dear?
I'm good.
You sound great.
So when you're speaking of promoting it too, then down there, what about your viewers up here in the Bay Area?
Well, some of the shows that we're looking at are like Today in L.A., for example, Channel 11. There are Southern California shows, that are on the same time as Regis and Kelly and The View and that. So they're competitive shows. Then the cable shows, there's like MSNBC shows and CNN shows, will be worldwide, so you can watch it up there. And we can put it up on the Internet for our people when we're going to do those shows. And that's what we're in the process of doing now, is putting that kind of a PR program together. I've hired people to do that.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. You never know.
Okay. Well, I have spoke to Mikkel already, and I know myself I'd like to at least get two or three copies because my friend Mark Rennie, the attorney that was at the show last year, he has my Rays of Truth. So I figured I'd just let him keep it, but I'd like to get a copy for him, too, and I'm sure he would buy in, buy into this one as well.
Yeah, word of mouth is really, really a good way to spread the word. But what the promoters are trying to do is to get this book out before the Tamiflu flu shots are spreading. And the Tamiflu flu shots are still, they probably start hitting pregnant women and messing them up in about a month, about the middle of October, late October. The general public won't be getting them probably till November or December, maybe even January. So by then we should have some copies out there of the main, of a main production run.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at from this end. Of course, anything is subject to change because that's the nature of this business and promotion. Out of the, out of the blue, things can happen pretty quick, you know, in promotion and things. If we do post radio a couple times at some of those shows, that gets the word out, but that's still a limited audience. We want the mainstream audience, not the what I call the Art Bell group, you know, that, which is great because they buy a lot of stuff. It's good for book sales, but we need people that are out there effectively raising families and doing all this stuff, and that's a different logistical group than we normally talk to. Normally we talk to people that have a pretty good knowledge of what's going on anyway. That includes most of the Art Bell folks. They're not stupid. They know what's going on. We want the complete idiots that don't know, have a clue what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ones that are being duped by the media, which is controlled by the CIA and intelligence.
Right.
That's what we're trying to get.
Yeah, because they're saying about this vaccine being available here next month, and there's no way in the world that I'm going to have it or even have anybody I know or my relatives take it because it's just not something I think they should be taking.
It's 6:58 already.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we got to get off the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was
quick.
Well, they were talking about time jumps. I completely lost it there, you know. So anyhow, I guess
we'll
just head on out.
Good music.
Yeah, we'll have be on tomorrow night, you know. Steve will be on tomorrow at 3. Okay, it's Dr. Fred Bell signing off from our Health Science and Energy Show. Steve Barish had the helm last week. Steve, you can reach Steve Barish at BBS Radio. He'll be on at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you.
That's Eastern time, right?
Yes.
Or is that Western time?
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, Eastern. Okay, that's it. We're getting kicked out of here. We almost went over our budget here on the time budget. So until next week, we'll talk to you and have a great week and listen to Steve's show tomorrow.